It's June 2nd, 2021. This is Taking the Temperature of the NRHA. I'm your host, Bruce Krentz. I've got my stack of business cards in front of me. I'm taking some temperatures, calling around, seeing how people are doing. The card on the top of the stack is the lady at the top, CEO Helga Bryant.
Hi, Helga, it's Bruce. I can't believe it's been 2 weeks since we last talked.
I know, Bruce. Great to hear from you again.
I'm wondering, what's on your mind today?
You know, Bruce, there has actually been something pretty sad on my mind. You know, I just really found myself shaken and so grieved at learning of the 215 children who had died and had their deaths not documented at the Kamloops Indian Residential School. I still get emotional just now speaking about it. I mean, this is just yet another blatant example of the colonization impact and how egregiously that has impacted on Indigenous peoples. And I just want to take a moment to honor the lives of those children, their families, the descendants of their families, and just the ripple effect that this discovery will have. There has, of course, been a call to explore every Indian residential school in Canada, to explore how many more undocumented deaths occurred. So there will be more. And of course, we had many Indian residential schools in Manitoba. So this will come closer to home for us as well. Bruce, I really do think it will further re-traumatize survivors of Indian residential schools and their families. There is support available. There's various websites, various phone numbers for even our own staff to call if they have any connection to an Indian residential school. And Twyla will be posting those contacts on the website. So that just really has been on my mind as I think about my own grandchildren and just the impact that will now have yet again, even all these many, many years later. I was also struck as I looked at the dashboard today, I'm struck by the two extremes. So on one hand, we see the record numbers of people in ICU, most of them unvaccinated, by the way. And even over and above the ones that are in our own ICUs, we have 36 Manitobans in ICUs outside of the province. I really do think that the system is past the brink. It really has gone beyond what the acute care system in Manitoba was ever designed to manage. And then there's also another phenomenon that we're just beginning to, I think, talk a little bit more about under the surface, the silent victims of the COVID pandemic. And that's people that have now been for a year and a half waiting for tests and surgery. And it's in the tens of thousands, Bruce. There are 20,000 scopes alone waiting in the province, never mind all of the urgent surgeries. And we're now, of course, learning of people dying while they're on a wait list. So we absolutely need to get through this. And the way through it is the extreme that I see on the other side of this mind continuum. And that is vaccinations. And the only way to get out of this pandemic is to be vaccinated. News out today, for those people who received AstraZeneca as a first dose, they can receive one of the messenger RNA vaccines. So they can receive Pfizer or Moderna. The spacing between doses is being continually redefined. And I know we're going to hear more about the interchangeability of vaccines. Again, the goal is to get needles into arms. We have to get to that 70%. And that is when we can start loosening the restrictions, reducing the pressure on our acute care system, and beginning to feel like we can live a little bit. This is all about personal responsibility. My last words, please get vaccinated. There's no wrong vaccine. Take the one that's available to you and stay safe.
Helga's talk of personal responsibility makes me think of all the people who are doing the right thing, isolating and helping to stop the spread. That's easier for some people than others, and I know our AIA coordinator, Jamie Steves, has been helping some of them out. I think I'll take her temperature today.
I'm phoning to check in on AIA. How are you doing today?
We're doing great today. Busy as usual. It's always an adventure in AIA.
Refresh my memory. What's AIA all about?
So AIA is an alternate isolation accommodations. It's designed for those that cannot safely isolate in their home for a multitude of reasons. It can be everything from, you know, overcrowding in the home to, you know, you becoming a case or contact and then not wanting to expose your family. There's a lot of reasons we can get somebody to AIA, but that's just a few.
How many people have we put through our Northern AIA program?
We have isolated or used AIA for about 1,100 people, and those are from all over the North.
Unreal. And so when we talk about all over the North, what all have you done to help out those 1,100 people?
So we've used all sorts of transportation to get people to our sites. So we've had to use helicopters. We've had to use chartered flights. So we've had to be pretty inventive. We've had to pull in some of our local resources for sending out buses. So yeah, it's definitely challenging to get everybody to our sites.
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Exactly.
It's crazy. In terms of sites, how many sites did we end up with?
We have three sites located in Thompson, two sites located in the PAW, with a third site that we do have access to if needed. It's through a partnership through OCN. And we do have the one site in Flin Flon. So there's also AIA sites in Winnipeg. And sometimes we just, as much as we try to, we can't fully support somebody in the North. Or, you know, we've had our share of outbreaks and case numbers have been high at times. And so we've had to reach out to the Winnipeg and the FNIB site down south to assist us with some of our placements.
I'm sure you didn't know what you were getting yourself into when you signed on the dotted line for this coordinator position. What are some of the goods and the bads? Start with the bads and then leave us on a high note. Let's not go with bad. Let's go with challenges.
Yeah, nothing's really that bad. Everything's doable. Some of the challenges have been, you know, our weather, our awesome northern weather and our blizzards, the dynamics of getting people to the sites and not being as quickly done as we would like it to be done. But, you know, like just challenges, I don't really see them in a negative things. We're super adaptable in AIA and we learn from everything and move on to the next challenge. I mean, we're all still here. So there's nothing that's put us, you know,
totally out of commission.
Nothing that's put us out of commission yet. And just the highlights is just the people we get to meet. It sounds cheesy, but I can literally say I feel like I have friends, new friends in each of our communities in the North now. Made some great connections with not only our Northern health nurses, but our provincial nurses and agency nurses that have come in to help out. So it's really the people. It's huge team effort. Never felt alone.
Thanks to you and the team for doing this piece of trying to get us through the COVID pandemic. We know we have such a vulnerable population and it's been really important to our region, I know, to offer this service. And we really have, I feel like we've gone above and beyond with what we've provided through AIA, and that's in no small part to you and your team who have spent so much time on it. Jamie, thanks for talking to me today.
All right, have a good one, Bruce.
NRHA nurses, agency nurses, FNIB nurses, and those are just the ones Jamie's talking about working with to place people in AIA. There's a lot of nurses out there working really hard, and we just passed by Nursing Week. Missed it by that much, but I think I'm going to circle back and call up the business card for our VP of Clinical Services and Chief Nursing Officer, Shannon Guerrero.
Hey, Shannon, it's Bruce calling. How are you?
I'm good, Bruce. How are you?
I'm great. You know, I've been meaning to catch up with you for a couple of weeks now. I know we sort of missed Nursing Week and the Nursing Excellence Awards, but I wanted to just circle back and talk to you about that a little bit, if it's okay.
Nursing Week seems like a long time ago, and Nursing Week was hard, right? Because we couldn't do the usual things that I'm used to doing, where we would share cake and we would have barbecues and pizza parties, and we'd be able to go unit to unit and personally thank the nurses for their service and for all they do. It's painful for me to not be able to do that. And I'm a touchy person, so, you know, to hug somebody or at least shake their hand, it's not the way I would choose to do things to celebrate both nurses, but also the profession of nursing. If you want to talk about the Nursing Excellence Awards, to me, that is the pinnacle of that week. A Nursing Excellence Award that is a nomination from your peers shows that you are really good at what you do, that you are recognized by other people who do what you do. Therefore, you're a role model and you are a mentor. And when it comes from your peers, there's no hiding, right? It's not like it's coming from people who only see you on your best behavior or people who see you when administration walks through and everybody sort of stands at attention like the military. When your peers watch you work day to day, watch you deal with patients, they read your documentation, they see how you chart, they see how you interact with families, they see how you help them, they see that you're collaborative and cooperative. I think that is the highest form of recognition because they actually know you. They've seen you on a bad day. They've seen you on a weekend. They see you when the public and when other people don't see you necessarily. And they see how you care for patients. And when they say that you meet the criteria to receive a Nursing Excellence Award, there's no stronger commendation, I don't think, for nurses than to get that.
It's not like a PR firm got you nominated for an Oscar. It's real.
Absolutely. The fact that you have to have a couple of nominations, so your best friend is not the only vote that counts. And it has to be endorsed by your manager because you do have to be a nurse in good standing. And the manager has to say, yes, in my experience working with this nurse, I would agree that they deserve that honor, right? So it's verified. Like I said, I think it's an extreme honor when it's your colleagues.
Super high praise. And are the awards regional, provincial, national?
So ours are regional. I know they do it in other regions. They certainly do it in the Winnipeg region, and they do it through the colleges. So the College of Registered Nurses and the Association of Regulated Nurses, they have Nursing Excellence Awards. And the CNA also does it. It's not unique to the Northern Health Region, but ours is only for the Northern Health Region.
Thanks for all that, Shannon. It was awesome. I was glad that I could take your temperature today.
Thanks, Bruce, and you're welcome to take my temperature at any time.
The last business card on my stack today is Reese St. Pierre. Not a lot of people know about her job, but it's a good one. She's a newborn hearing screener in Thompson.
Hey there, Reese, it's Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I wanted to check in with you on your new-ish position. Tell me a little bit about the experience and what your job's all about.
I go into the nursery every morning and I screen babies' hearing. I do data entry and documentation, and then I come back and I also see outpatients in my clinic as well. Overall, the job has been awesome. It's really hard to have a bad day when you hang out with babies all day. I get to snuggle babies and test their hearing, and it's honestly probably been one of my greatest experiences thus far in my young life. I'm very grateful to be working with Northern Regional Health Authority and doing that program.
I don't know how many other people get to get up every morning and
hang out with babies.
Yeah, and work with new parents who are excited to have their babies, and you're setting them off on a good path. You kind of mentioned your young life, so you're not very old. You never ask a lady her age.
But, that is true.
But we can say you're not very old.
No, I'm not.
I'm curious to hear what your vaccine was experienced. Have you been vaccinated?
I have been vaccinated. I got my first dose in February when the first wave of vaccines came out. And then I got my second one a month later in March. So I've been fully vaccinated for about 2 months now. I haven't had any issues. I feel great. I was excited to get my vaccine because I want things to get back to normal. And if that's what we need to do to make things go back to normal. For symptoms and things like that, it wasn't anything too crazy, maybe just like a headache and my arm was sore, and that was about it. So overall, good experience. I hope everybody goes and gets their vaccine.
I'm not really seeing it, but I keep hearing that there's some hesitancy in young people. Have you seen that with your friends? What's the vibe with you and the people that you hang out with outside of work?
Some of the people that hang out outside of work actually work in the hospital. So they have also got their vaccines, or one works in the school district. So we obviously hang out when we can based on COVID restrictions and things like that. But they got their vaccines as well. Many of my other friends who aren't living in Thompson but are out and about and doing their thing, they have gotten their vaccines as well. I haven't noticed a lot of people who have been neglecting going to get their vaccine. I see lots of posts and things like that of people who are even younger than I am who have their stickers and they're getting vaccine. I was sad I didn't get a sticker because, you know, it was too early in the game to get the stickers. So, but otherwise, no, I think most of the people that I know have actually been getting their vaccines as well.
It's funny you mentioned the sticker thing, because I remember the first I heard that there was people that actually kind of didn't want to go because they weren't getting stickers or they were upset. It seemed funny to me on the stickers, but you're right, my kids and people around them, the stickers are a thing. So
yeah, I know. I didn't get one. I think it was just hadn't created them yet. Then now people are just posting all the time with their COVID vaccine stickers. And I'm like, I wish I got a sticker. I tell you, I got it though.
Retroactively, we get to go back and get our stickers. That's just how it is.
Exactly.
Perfect. Hey, Reese, so great talking to you. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Of course, no problem.
Shannon just sent me an email with all of the winners from the Nursing Excellence Awards. I think I'll wrap up this episode of Taking the Temperature of the NRHA with all of those names. From Flin Flon, we had Shailene Dimitenko, who's a CRN in the Flin Flon Medical Unit, Anna Clark from Endoscopy and Ambulatory Care, Janine Jays from Infection Prevention and Control, and Haley Fieber from Home Care. In the PAW, Bev Andrews-Rivlin, Chemotherapy Department, Jade Watts from Clinic and Testing Sites, Deanna Smith, who's the CRN of the OR, Vanessa Heinz, the ER, and Chad Monroe, the Clinical Charge Lead. In Thompson, Brittany Lamb, Regional Clinical Educator, Kimberly McLean Edmonds, CRN of the ER and SCU, Rochelle Huckalack, Nurse Practitioner, Naomi Nickerson, another Nurse Practitioner, Kristen Wickdahl, our Long-Term Care Manager, and Jennifer Regeer in Infection Prevention and Control. Over in Gillam, we recognize Mandy Hedman. In Woboden, Margaret Friesen, one of our Public Health Nurses, and in Sheridan, Debbie Hatch, another Public Health Nurse. Congratulations to all of our Nursing Excellence winners in 2021.